Hey, welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Thursday, February 27th, 2014, and my name is Sally Baptist. Thank you for tuning in to our weekly show, Smart Talk Elections 2014, Know Your Candidate. As we do once a week now, we're going to focus on different candidates. We have a guest candidate tonight, and we're going to find out why you should vote for this person, Joshua Black. But I've been told, you know, I have to rant before we start the show. I have to anyway. It wouldn't matter what anybody would say. I would do it anyway. But anyway, a couple of quick updates before I hand this over to Sherry Smart. Neil Rice, I believe, will be joining us tonight. Sherry and Neil, who host the show. But Neil is running a few minutes late, but she'll be with us. I want to make sure everybody knows, especially our guest, to tune in to Monday's show because I'm going to be talking about Florida transportation. The massive transportation scam, the corruption, the land grab, it's unbelievable everything that is going on with Florida transportation. And then people want to know why our transportation system is so hosed up. You can start with the investigation going on right now with the Orlando Orange County Expressway Authority. It's a culture of corruption. It's been one for years. Now it looks like State Attorney Jeff Ashton is going to be having three of the members of this five-member board go in front of a grand jury for violations of the Sunshine Law while they work together in the smoke-filled room to oust the last director of the Expressway Authority, Max Crummett. And not that I'm any fan of the guy, and the fact that he's somehow aligned with Teresa Jacobs, Mayor, Orange County Mayor, doesn't make me feel any better either, but it just shows you the ongoing corruption. And then I've got a few other goodies we're going to talk about in reference to St. John's Water Management District. We talked a little bit about this last week, Sherry, but I've been getting into more and more information, and these things are just a little too cozy to me. When you see these different relationships, you see these land deals going on, and then they tell us they have no money for roads and they have to build toll roads. Plus, Pasco County right now is fighting a toll road. There's just a lot of stuff. So please tune in Monday. We need to fix transportation in Florida big time. Corruption is the way it is. And I call it the highway heist, the Great American Highway Heist. Welcome to Florida. The other thing that I just have to say, and I'm sure Sherry and Dr., you must have heard the famous words, or whatever you want to call them, infamous words from Alex Sink about amnesty. Well, if we don't have amnesty, who is going to clean the hotel rooms? Who is going to do your lawn?
That's pretty insulting. Never mind.
It is, and once I finish this, I'm sure you're both going to probably comment on it, and I hope you do. But, I mean, the nerve of this lady to say this. But then again, guess who else pretty much said the same thing not too long ago? His name is John Ellis Bush, that we need the Hispanics because they're more fertile and we need workers. He called them workers. He didn't say maids and landscapers, but he called them workers.
So there's no leaders, that thing. There's no leaders. There's no statesmen. They're just workers. Interesting.
Exactly. This is why we need amnesty for the illegal Mexicans. Of course, amnesty is much bigger than that, but that's the way these people are talking. It was just, the whole thing was disgusting. And if anybody would vote for Alex Sink after making such a stupid statement, I would say they drink the Kool-Aid
it's
or something.
Such a blatantly bigoted statement.
It is. Just disgusting.
Yes, it is.
I'll give you one last rant. Yeah, I'm sorry. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, so that was it? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I got my one last rant to get in here. And this is about Orange County School Board Chair Bill Sublette. He's the ultimate, or he's just another rhino. This is why, Teresa Jacobs, the mayor of Orange County, rhino, Bill Sublette, rhino, out there embracing Common Core. And right now, as I see it, Bill Sublette, he's up for re-election this year, 2014. Right now, it looks like there's only one person running against him, a Democrat, who may or may not be for Common Core. I don't know. But please don't vote for this guy. I mean, Common Core is a good thing. If this guy thinks Common Core is good for us, we don't need him in office. We need to get him out of the school board. I mean, of all places to have this kind of rhinoism in the school board. So, anyway, I usually try to keep my rants down to between 3 and 5 minutes, and I'm up to my four-minute marker right now. So on that note, Sherry, go ahead and take over.
Thank you, Sally. This is Sherry Smart and Neil Rice. Neil's not on yet. And we have an amazing guest tonight, Joshua Black. He is running for District 68 for the Florida House. I am so pleased to see a man of his stature and character running. And thank you so much, Joshua. He's in Eastern Pinellas Park in St. Petersburg. And let me tell you, this gentleman is against the stop the red light cam- I mean, he's for stop the red light cameras. He's for stopping Common Core and lower taxes. Welcome, Joshua. It's like a breath of fresh air. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Well, good evening, and thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. So tell us, Joshua, now you're in your area, you're running. Who's your competition, Joshua, and how's it looking for you?
Well, my competition is the Democrat incumbent. His name is Dwight Dudley. He won election. He's only had one term. That was in 2012 that he won his election. And basically, he's outraised me about, I guess it's now 7-1 since I died. Yeah, but, you know, it's okay.
Are you getting out there volunteers to door knock for you and all of that good stuff, Joshua?
I mean,
you have a lot of volunteers on the ground, you know, helping you out?
I don't have a lot. What has happened is the special election in which Alex Sink is involved, an atrocious candidate, the worst candidate I think the Democrats could ever have picked. I know Jessica Ehrlich would never have made such a fool of herself, even though I never would have voted for her. But I've never heard such racism, blatant racism, come from the mouth of a candidate in a national spotlight.
A Democrat.
Well, I've heard such racism come from Democrats, but they're usually black Democrats to black people. Although Joe Biden did it during the last presidential election cycle when he was talking to a crowd of black people. So, but I've never heard someone, our society has become so politically correct that
it's
you
so
would never
polarized.
But still, you never expect any public official to make such a blatantly racist statement as what Alex Sink did the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That is completely out of left field, which, of course, she's a leftist. But that's the mindset of the criminal politicians that we have serving in Tallahassee and in Washington, D.C.
What's even one further, Joshua, is the fact that I don't think she even was aware of it. I think that's what really astounded me, was the fact that she was not even aware of how she sounded. In today's
environment, I say things like that. Are you kidding me? Well, I say things that I don't always know how they sound, so I understand that. But to say that immigrant, that we need to make illegal immigrants legal because we don't want to fine businesses for having illegal landscapers and maids. That's not all that these people do. They are mothers and fathers, and they're super intelligent and blow us out of the water if they simply have the opportunity. My only thing is that we have legal channels for people to come into this country, and they should be used.
Thank you.
We should not offer welfare, period. And that would eliminate a lot of illegal
immigration. Wait a minute, Joshua. Do you understand how radical you sound right now?
Well,
I mean, you do. You
radical.
Sound like a
we
true radical. Should not offer welfare. Okay, so you must be a Christian. I'm just making an assumption here.
Oh, I am a Christian, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because, you know, honestly, Christ did not believe in welfare. He believed in neighbors helping neighbors. You don't need a government to help you out. If you're in need, your neighbor knows it, and your neighbors chip in and help you until you can get back on your feet.
Exactly. God says in the book of Proverbs, if you see a need that your neighbor has, help him right then, especially if you have it right beside you. Don't tell him, go away and I'll bring it back. I'll give it to you tomorrow. No, that's what we do with our government resource thing. Oh, fill out this form. Well, we'll see if you meet our criteria. Let's put on delay. And so people who are truly disabled and trying to get some of the benefits that they paid into for Social Security, the SSI disability thing, that they pay out of their pockets, out of their paychecks for most of their lives. They get disabled. An injury happens, okay? They go through the hoops and through ringers to try to get some of that money back when it should have been left in their hands in the first place.
Amen.
But people who are scamming the system get our money faster.
Absolutely.
And the people who have
really genuinely need it
have to pay attorneys to get it.
Yeah.
And that is evil.
I love you. Okay, so you've got it. Are you getting the word out to your community, and are they embracing you, or are they looking at you like, wait a minute, you don't make any sense to me? I mean, how is your community perceiving you?
The community is what part of the community I'm able to reach is receiving me rather well.
Right.
Being a taxi driver, which is what I do for a living, because I'm exhausted. Yes, I'm a taxi driver.
No, I think that's great because you meet all kinds of people when you're driving that taxi.
Exactly. And so I get to talk to all kinds of people about all kinds of different things. And, of course, I'll always ask if they live in my district, or if I know they live in my district, I ask if they're registered to vote. And, of course, I hand them my card, and I talk to them about some issues one way or the other.
Awesome.
And so I've been doing that, but it's not netted me a whole lot of traction. You heard about me because one of my Pinellas County enemies retweeted a tweet that I had sent out and falsely accused me of threatening to harm the president. And of course,
you're right. I did hear that.
He tweeted that out to many other people who were Democrats, and because he knew that they would be angry with me for that. And they were angry with me for a lie, and even when I told them the truth, they weren't satisfied. Put me on Bay News 9, which is the local cable news channel, and they have a weekly political feature called Political Connections. It airs in the evenings on Saturdays and Sundays, and airs once in the morning on Sunday as well. And so I got a lot of FaceTime with a lot of people in the Tampa Bay area explaining why I said what I said and what my other positions are. So it was it turned out well in that regard. And from that, I raised about $1,700, which very nearly doubled the amount that I had raised.
Oh, that's great. So here a little bit of evil was actually turned around for good.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Bible says.
Yep, absolutely.
Sherry.
Oh. Yes, ma'am. This
Sherry,
is Sally talking.
Just to let you know.
Yes.
Excuse me. Neil is out there now, so she is online. And also, obviously, as a taxi driver, we have to make sure we get on the transportation subject at some point tonight. But I'll let you
I'm sure Joshua probably has some feelings about that. I'm sure he has some feelings.
Angry with the latest developments that we've had here in Pinellas County. We have had the contractor for our U.S. 19 road improvements stringing us along for years. People had rejected, over and over again, rejected the referendum to have these flyovers installed in Pinellas County. It's basically from Dunedin down to the mainlands in Pinellas Park. And not, is it Dunedin? Yeah, it's basically Dunedin. Yeah, flyovers from Dunedin to Pinellas Park on US 19. And we resisted it because we didn't want road construction going on and on and on and on and on. And so at some point, the people relented and allowed the project to go forward. Well, the project has, as expected, which was supposed to be completed last year, been strung along to this year. And the contractor has whined and complained that he can't get the work done on time because he can't afford to pay overtime. And so the governor, along with the corrupt state senator of, I guess it's Northern Clearwater, he's District 20, Senate District 20, his name is Jack Latvala, got together and put together a $5 million package, or $4.8 million package, where the contractor gets an additional $3.2 to help him with the overtime, and then he gets $1.6 if he actually finishes it by the end of this year. So construction that was supposed to finish, I believe, in the spring of 2013 is now being stretched out to finish at the end of 2014.
With some money hanging out there as a bait. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't a bait. It was a plan. They knew that this would happen. This happens all the time with road construction. If they don't have another construction project immediately following, they delay until they can get one or until they can get more money.
So they bleed the person that they're currently working for until their next gig opens up.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So, and I understand that people want to maintain the flow of their income, but they're killing businesses that are beside the construction. They are destroying the morale of people who have to drive through ever-changing lanes with new road patterns and new traffic patterns and all the other stuff, and we're not seeing progress until lately, until, we might get new funding. Let's act like we're doing a good job so we can get that new funding. And now that they've gotten that new funding, the work is going on and on and on. And it's just so infuriating to see that they just strung us out for an additional $5 million. And the government just gave it to them. That's our money that they're playing with. And then that's on top of the Greenlight Pinellas project that they're trying to push through. Greenlight Pinellas is supposed to reward the Pinellas Suncoast Transit Authority for their incompetence over the last 30 years of mismanaging the ad valorem taxes that we've been paying them for a third rate. Well, I think that's an insult to third rate. Last rate bus system where it's atrocious. One of the reasons that you can have 10 or 11 taxi companies, I just saw two new companies this week, one new company today in Pinellas County, that the public transportation system is so atrocious. If you want to get from point A to point B, and there's a bus route nearby, you probably have to walk 5 or 6 blocks from where you're starting to the bus stop, and then from the closest bus stop to where you want to go, unless it's a shopping center.
Now, that's interesting that you brought that up. That's something I'm kind of watching in my own area, because they're really pushing this bus transit system. You know, we've got to have more. But every time I see these buses, there's 2 people on them.
That is correct. And the reason that there's only 2 people on it is because they don't serve the needs of the community.
Thank you.
They fit within the parameters of the central planners, but they don't fit the needs of the community. That's why taxi companies can flourish.
Oh, my God.
Now, I swear.
This, This is so awesome that you're talking about this, because I've often wondered what the gap is, you know, and you're just now hitting on that. You actually know this.
Yes,
you understand where the bus is coming from and then where the real people are coming from.
Oh, yes, and where they're trying to go and how absolutely inconvenient. I've had people wait 10 minutes for a taxi, pay the two or three times what they would have paid to ride a bus, and then tip me, some of them tip me, to go get their errands done just because they don't want to wait for the bus. And the bus doesn't come back for them when they need it. I'm sorry?
Tell me something. Now that you kind of understand this, the way everything operates, you're understanding the human psyche and where they're coming from. So money, monetarily, is there any way to fix the bus, the transit system, so that it would work for these people that are calling the taxis? Is there any way that it's workable? So that, okay, we're going to eliminate taxis, now we're going to go to bus. Is there any way that people are going to do this? The only way they're going to do it, I think, is if they totally eliminate taxis, and then they're forced to comply with the buses. I mean, I don't understand. Why do we keep pushing this bus transit system to accommodate two people?
I don't know why they push it, but Greenlight Pinellas is not pushing for only more buses. They believe they can put 65% more buses on, plus they want to build a light rail from Clearwater to St.
I knew that was coming.
Oh.
Joshua, excuse me, I've got to say this. I've been quiet as long as I can on this transportation issue.
That's Sally jumping
transportation
in.
Transportation is what got me into all this stuff to begin with. But please, if you any way possible, I need you to call in on the show on Monday because, the scam reel, that's what it's called. It's really scam reel.
Sally, tell them again what time the show on Monday is. What time is it on Monday?
It's 7 p.m., same time as it, 7 to 9.
Okay.
And
7 p.m. Monday. All right,
focus.
Go ahead, Sally.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, this what we tried to do here locally, before John Micah managed to get his scam reel into Orange County here, and that's what it is, scam reel, no one's going to be on it. Charlie Klein, the guy with the truck, he retired from American Airlines, and he talked about how we could have a bus hub system similar to how the airlines work, where they have their connectors. And we came up with a whole plan. We had two different plans. It was an express bus for cross-town commutes, the people who were driving out to Disney or whatever, but then also a bus hub system where you take from neighborhoods and you'd have these different points where people could transfer. So instead of taking 2 hours for a 20-minute trip in a car, you could get there in maybe 30 minutes. So it might be a little bit longer than a car trip, but not as long. But right now, literally here in Orange County, in Orlando, you want to go across town, you better plan on a two-hour trip just from just about any place in this county. So anyway, I know exactly where you're coming from, and please tell me you'll be there on Monday.
I was going to say, Joshua, will you be there on Monday?
I have to double-check with my wife and my schedule. So I can't promise that right now, but I'm looking forward to that. we are trying to do
now.
Here. There is a group. There's a group started in St. Petersburg called No Tax for Tracks. Wonderful lady Barb is leading it out of her insurance office. She's an insurance agent, and she's trying to put a stop to it because what they're doing, they're trying to add another percentage to our sales tax. We already do slush run.
Not.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes. Pinellas County would have the highest tax, sales tax rate in the entire state. We're already doing a penny for Pinellas.
Oh,
then they
my
want to
gosh.
Use, oh, yes, it's a slush fund for the power-grabbing Board of County Commissioners. And then they want to add another penny, they say, on top of that. So it would be 8%. And that, so if anybody was shopping in Hillsboro versus shopping in Pinellas, they would run back to Hillsboro in a heartbeat because they wouldn't have to pay that extra 1%, particularly on big ticket items. So we're talking about tripling
our... I did the same when I lived in Georgia. I would not shop in Fulton County. I would drive over to Cobb County because Fulton County was a lot more expensive than Cobb County. So I drive over the line. I did this. I've done that wherever I've lived. You're always looking for where am I going to save a buck.
Yeah, so, because our dollars are precious to us.
Absolutely.
And we need to be able to spend it where it means the most for us. And I am quite certain that this additional penny is going to drive more business out of Pinellas County, make the supposed advantage of having the rail completely moot. In addition, they're thinking, oh, but Pinellas County is growing. We're going to have so many more people in Pinellas County. Well, we kind of can't have that many more people in Pinellas County because we're rather built out. We can't really build we can't do too many more
That lie is being spread all over Florida. That's a big fat lie being spread all over Florida because I don't care what community, they're all saying the same thing. That's a big lie.
Yeah, well, what they're trying to do, they're trying to get people out of the rural areas and into the cities, and they're hoping that by menacing people who live in the county, they will be able to force them to go to the cities. And when they do that, then they're hoping that it makes things all workable for them.
It's not going to work that way.
And I'm just trying to – well,
yep.
No, it won't. I'm trying to say, hey, look, I don't need PSTA wasting more of my money. I think we're going to be able to put the brakes on Greenlight Pinellas, but we just have to keep at it because these crooks love to spend – everyone else's money, never spending their
absolutely.
Own.
Absolutely. They love having their hand in your pocket.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Joshua, I'm really curious. How did you get to where you are? How did your thinking evolve to where you are now? Have you always been this way? Or was there a little switch that went off? What happened so that your eyes were opened and you actually looked at things logically and with common sense? When did that happen?
Well, I was born and raised in St. Louis, Missouri, to Christian parents. I'm second of 10 children. We were all homeschooled.
Wait a minute. Second of 10 children?
That is correct. We were all homeschooled by my mother's place.
Okay, your mom has wings right now. I'm telling you, she's got a crown with wings. This woman was awesome.
My dad happily provided for her because he didn't want his children going to the dreadful public schools. And St. Louis public schools are still dreadful. They almost had their accreditation yanked. Well, there was rumors about it for years, but things really came to a head in 2005, and they barely hung on to it. Because they're such terrible, such a terribly corrupt organization, and they waste so much. Every time there's a thing to raise money for the schools, a bond issue to raise money for the schools, people vote for it because they don't realize how much the money is just being thrown down the drain.
Exactly.
So we need.
Speaking to that, people, I want you to understand that Joshua Black, running for Florida House District 68, is against Common Core, as we're talking about homeschooling and his awesome mother, you know, God bless her, that, you know, the reason he's so articulate and well thought out is his homeschooling. He's not a product of public school indoctrination.
And I strongly encourage any parent, I know there are sacrifices that you have to make in order to homeschool your children. But I've seen single parents do it. I've seen poor people do it. I've seen rich people do it. If you want your children to learn your values, you have to have them hanging with you. That's what the Bible talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You have to teach your principles when you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit down, when you stand up, when you go out, when you come in. Everywhere you are, everywhere you go, you are teaching your values to your children. And if you're not conscientiously teaching them that family is most important, that doing the right thing is more important than being popular,
right,
then you're going to end up with children who've been to the culture and who turn against you in the long run in favor of whatever the media can say that is popular with the culture.
Oh,
because
I really
no
just love what
gauge,
you just say, because
there's
I love
no
that.
Way
it's about bending with the culture. So now that you're going to be elected,
mm-hmm.
what can you do to stop Common Core in your area?
The biggest thing that parents can do to stop Common Core is to pull their children out of the public schools. The biggest thing that a legislator can do is to file a bill to repeal the acceptance of the federal dollars that come with Common Core. And that is what I intend. That I think you get 6 bills, and that will be one of those bills that
okay, but
I
now that they've
filing.
Already taken money, what can they do? Are they going to tell us, oh, we've taken the money, we've already swallowed the poison pill, we have to follow up? Or can they go ahead and say, you know what, I took the money, I didn't understand the fine print, we don't have the money to carry out this grand scheme. What can they do at that point?
We can send the money back.
That's the dilemma that I see them in at this point. I see that, okay, a lot of them are beginning to wake up now, and they're beginning to say, whoa, what did we do? We swallowed the poison pill. We've taken the money. We've said we were going to do this thing, and now they know. And I'm not even looking the way you and I are looking at it, through the lens of what are we teaching them. I'm looking at it now economically. The funds, we do not have the money to implement this.
The whole deception of the federal funding is that
uh-huh.
the federal funds are not enough to cover the cost of installing computers in
Thank
every
you.
Classroom.
Thank
That's
you.
The that is a huge challenge. And then the software is also marked up significantly, and you
right.
have to pay for each user. Bill Gates is making a killing off of this. That's why he's
oh,
supporting.
Oh, and he's not alone. He's not alone. He's one of the
oh,
many.
Oh, I know he's not alone. Jeb Bush is right there with him because Jeb Bush has a financial stake in the testing companies.
Yes.
So that's the other thing that is driving. And then they've got people on the College Board for the SAT and the ACT also trying to adjust those two standardized tests that have worked well for years, trying to force those to change to being aligned with Common Core. So best thing parents can do is yank their kids out of public schools. The thing that a legislator can do is to send the money back or to refuse to accept any further money from the federal government. And that's that is doable. We can do that and not have any repercussions whatsoever, because the federal government can't force us to do things. The federal government only offers us a financial reward if we comply with their demands. And
that's right.
What we have to say to the federal government is, A, that's not your money to give away, and B, what you're asking us to do is wrong, so we're not going to do it. And each program that is a federal and state partnership is separate, so it doesn't affect other things like ordinary funding for education, which I think should be programs that could be eliminated anyway, but we'll talk about that at another time. If somebody says it affects all of your federal funding, it does not affect all of your federal funding. It only affects that particular program. Now, they can try to bully you around like they did with the Texas Health and Human Services when Texas said if you provide abortions, you're not qualified for our Medicare program.
Right.
They can try to bully you around, but ultimately they don't really have the authority to do it. And even if they do, what Texas did was we'll come up with the money for it ourselves. And I think Florida can do that without crippling essential functions of the state. And the reason I believe that is because the state of Florida gives so much money to 501c3s. And I don't believe that all of the 501c3s that receive tax dollars deserve to receive tax dollars. One of those that receive tax dollars, in fact, a $5 million grant this past session or the session before, was the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Now, if you know anything about the movie Dolphin Tale or Dolphin Tale 2, both of those movies were produced by the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, and they made millions. They made millions. So there's no reason for the state of Florida to give $5 million to the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. No reason.
Wow.
Now, except that our powerful Senate District 20 person there, Jack Latvella, wanted another construction project for his buddies in Clearwater. So they put on the ballot this past year, and unfortunately it passed, to allow the Clearwater Marine Aquarium to take over the current Clearwater Courthouse, build the city of Clearwater a new courthouse, and renovate the old courthouse, all with supposedly all with Dolphin Tale money. However, that was never on the table until after they received a $5 million grant from the state.
Well, I'm opposed to grants in general, because grants are nothing but your tax dollars being redistributed to specific groups. Yeah. So, to me, cut off
politically well-connected groups. I believe that is wrong, that money should be returned to the people who earned it in the first place, and that's
the
Florida taxpayers.
Amen. I totally agree with you. Now, Joshua, how did you get involved with politics? I mean, you're so articulate. You're so smart. Most people that are really smart and articulate stay away from politics because it is so corrupt and so, so fundamentally broken, I think. Every time I look at my local politicians, they're supposed to represent the brightest, and they're really not. They're not, and I'm always very disappointed. So how are we going to, watch you blossom? I'm going to send up my prayers that you get elected. So how do we prevent you from becoming corrupted? Because I watch these people. I have campaigned for people. I've gotten out there and spent hours and hours, and they get into office, and within 12 months, they become. It's like I don't understand what happens. We no longer speak the same language. I don't understand. So how can we support you in a manner so that we know that hey, we're there for you. Don't get bought out. I'm always afraid that people are being bought out.
Well, the biggest thing that you can do for representatives to keep them accountable is to fire them when they go astray. Let them pull the wool over your eyes with 2 months of good work right before the election.
Right.
Fire them if they have a bad record overall, period. And it's not personal. It's business.
Oh, I agree.
We have to take it that way. You just wasted my children's money on X. Okay? For that, you're fired, period. And never let them have another elected office. Period. If you do that, politicians begin to learn that they can't just play games with your money. The pipeline that they have is not deep enough to survive 5 cycles of us firing criminal politicians year after year. And what we have to do is come out and force in the primaries to fire the criminal politicians in our particular parties so that when the general election comes around, there's only good choices in the parties that are left. We have to do this to Democrats. We have to do this to Republicans. And right now we're losing in the primaries, where the people who are coming out on top in the primaries are the people who should not be in office at all. And then when it comes to general election, people are throwing their hands up and not coming out to vote. And I think we're seeing that in the U.S. Rep. Special election right now, where the person who understood the Constitution the most on the Republican side and tried to fight for it received the least votes. And yet, quite certain he would have performed much better in the debates than the current Republican nominee. It's been very disheartening as a Republican to watch it go on. And the loser of all of this are the people of Pinellas County, because now we are not going to get good representation because we didn't flood the primary to say we want a constitutional candidate.
Right.
There's 170,000 Republicans in that district, and I think only about 45 or 50,000 came out to vote.
Wow.
And so
that
cannot continue. If
no,
we want to see constitutional candidates, we need to come out in force and force the criminal politicians out. Now, we need to vet our candidates. We need to go through rigorous process of questioning them. And so many candidates are so accustomed to giving the party line because, truthfully, we ask too many leading questions. We need to make the candidates talk and not give them talking points to run off of. We need to ask them what are their views on X and then shut up and let
right.
them give their views on X. And we just take notes. And then what's your view on Y? And shut up and let them give their view on Y. And then ask their view on Z and shut up. Let them give their view on Z. And when they do that, we know what their real beliefs are. And then go to
right.
the next forum and ask them the same questions and see if their question, see if their answers change. If their answers do change, then you know you've caught them in a lie and they're not trustworthy. And
oh, absolutely.
Mark them off. You're not going to vote for them. Look for another candidate. And unfortunately, it may be a couple of election cycles before you find a candidate worth voting for. But if you keep that process going and everybody in the party does that, we can take this back. We can. We just have to do it. We have to put in the time to do it. And it's time-consuming, and it's very annoying and time-consuming, but it's worth it because our children's money is at stake. Congress has spent $17 trillion of our children's money already and obligated our children to spend another $120 trillion on their unfunded programs.
Well,
so,
we've turned our children into virtual slaves. They really don't, they won't enjoy any of what I enjoyed when I was growing up and becoming a young adult and earning money and building wealth. It's not going to happen for them. Not with that kind of debt to their heads.
No, and that's why the urgency is on us to remove these criminal politicians from office and force them to force them out of office and replace them with statesmen. When we replace them with statesmen, we will have control over our own money again. And then we can pay down these debts. We can remove these foolish programs that we cannot afford, and we can see to it that our children aren't paying for our foolishness and for our wicked government.
Absolutely. Now, you've got this on your Facebook page. You have Stop Red Light Cameras. How are you going to do that?
There's a bill in the House and in the Senate right now. There's a companion bill in the Senate right now in the Florida legislature to repeal the authorization for any city in the state of Florida to have red light cameras. I am strongly supporting that bill and hoping that it does not have to be a campaign issue. I'm hoping that Jeff Brandis and the people that he has with him are able to push this bill through over the objections of Jack Abella and the people he has with him. But that requires you and everyone you know calling your state senator and your state representative and saying, hey, I'm so sick and tired of seeing these red light cameras when I drive throughout my city or my county, or I drive to the next county or wherever. Must get rid of red light cameras, period.
Well,
in fact,
all they have to do is look at the track record. They actually cause more accidents.
They don't care about
that. So that alone, he says, that's a red flag right there. Hey, it's causing more accidents. People are, slamming on their brakes because they don't want to hit that little median period, and the car behind them is plowing right into them.
Well, see,
so to me,
not
only
that,
but
me,
if you run a red light and you get into a wreck, then you deal with it. But most people are not maliciously running red lights. Most of the time, it's an accident. We're not paying attention. It's not like I'm determined to run this red light.
Well, sometimes it's mistimed, and sometimes
I'm
running late, and I don't
That's
think anybody else is going through.
Yeah, but, if I'm in a yellow light, I'm going to gun it. It's like, okay, I'm right here. I'm in between. I got this guy right on my rear end. If I start to brake right now, I know he's going to plow into me. So now I'm committed. I'm going to have to give it a go. But if I see the little camera click, my tendency would be to stomp on the brakes. Well, that guy's going to plow into me.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. So, I think the whole thing is just,
It's a crop. And who
it
hurts
is.
The
it,
most?
It's just another revenue source. It's another source of revenue. Now, how are you going to lower taxes? Let me hear you talk about that, because I think lowering taxes is the key to everything.
Well, one of the taxes that I want to cut is the gasoline tax.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this. Every time you go to the gas pump and you look at the price that you see, 46 cents of that goes to state and federal taxes.
Yes, sir. I do happen to know about that because I've looked at my own, and then after it goes there, then it's recycled and a certain percentage comes back home. And so when you look at your CAFR, your city or county CAFR, you can see where that money goes. It's very interesting. There's a whole lot of stuff going on with gasoline tax.
Right.
So
my belief is that the governor's talking about cutting the state budget by $500 million anyway. So why don't we make it simple? Cut the gasoline tax by 10 cents.
Absolutely.
Per gallon. That has a tangible effect on everyone in the state of Florida.
That's
because
right.
Whether you use cars or not, it affects you because everyone around you uses cars, and they have – the lower their costs are, the lower their prices are going to be.
Absolutely.
So
when we look at
small
our trucks –
businesses.
Absolutely.
Oh, so truckers driving through are going to be happy to come to Florida. Small businesses coming through are going to be happy to set up in Florida. If they have to run errands, they don't have to look over the shoulder as much when they're in Florida. And also, when business costs come down, our prices come down. Businesses are in competition with each other. They have to pass the savings along, because if they don't, their competitor will, and we'll go to their competitor and they'll lose business. We can count on that to help us. So cut that 10 cents out. It saves everybody money. I know taxi drivers will be happy about it. It'll cut PSTA's fuel budget as well. It really will make everybody happy except the criminal politicians who are mooching off of it. But you know what will also happen? You know what will also happen? More people will be able to drive, will be able to afford to go more places. We'll have more business. And those coffers will be filled right back up again. So we don't have to really worry about a long-term loss in revenue, because it's Reaganomics. You cut the taxes, you increase the businesses. The business increase will increase will put the tax levels right back to where they were.
But you just said something that is pure poison to the Department of Transportation. Everybody thinks of the DOT as wanting to improve our highways, our infrastructure and all that. And you just said something that would really upset the DOT, which is more people would drive. It's interesting to see the money that the DOT is getting, and they're not touching our current infrastructure. They're purchasing land with that money to build sustainable communities so you can walk to work. You can walk to the post office. You can walk to the grocery store. In other words, we can get you out of your car. So this is the big...
this is Sally chiming in on the transportation issue again.
Okay, go ahead.
Trust me, I have no problem with reducing the gas tax. The only thing is, and I talk about the funding of transportation, how we should be funding transportation at a state level. Just remember, when you say anything to do with that gas tax, two things they're going to talk about. One is more toll roads and hiking the tolls, and the tolls are the biggest ripoff of toll taxes. Toll is a four-letter word for tax. And two, they're going to want to put in that vehicle mileage tax on top of it. So you got to think of those are other pieces to it.
In other words, it's like a chess game, and these guys on this chessboard have us outmaneuvered everywhere, because what we're dealing with is common sense. Let's put people back in their cars. Let's let travel be less expensive. Let's go ahead so that food prices are lowered because gasoline is lowered. Let's do all these things that make sense. Meanwhile, the I don't know what
the
to call these
politicians.
Politicians
is what you have
to
call them.
And they're
that's my hashtag on Twitter,
board,
by the way.
And let's find another way to make this so that they don't succeed, so that we can still get the end game, our game. So we've got multiple levels that we're, maneuvering here.
So here's the if the only option for travel is the toll road, then I have a problem with it. If there are other options for travel besides the toll road, then I don't necessarily have as much of a problem with it. However, I don't think that a Florida DOT should be involved in anything that's not that doesn't cross county lines, and that the only place that they should have a say is at the county line, where it crosses the county line. And the only thing they should be doing is ensuring that there's no battle between the counties over how to connect across the county line. That's the only thing really Florida DOT should be doing. Everybody else has the personnel that can handle their local needs. We don't need central planners in Tallahassee telling everybody in every county exactly what the roads are ought to be. We need those decisions to be made at the county level. So I am fully in favor of diminishing the Florida Department of Transportation and cutting it back to where it really ought to be, simply an assistant, not a commander.
Yeah, well, when you talk about transportation and planning, there is such a massive overlap between MPOs, transportation authorities, and the DOT. This, again, was part of what's going to be discussed on Monday's show. It's absolutely massive. But I have to call you down on saying something about if the toll road, if there's another option, come over here in Orlando, Orange County, where right now the only expressway that doesn't have a toll on it is I-4, and now they're adding Lexus lanes to I-4. They're screwing up the small businesses, and people literally pay $100, $120, $150 bucks a month to drive to and from work because they feel like they're pretty much stuck on these toll roads because all the expressways are toll roads, and the state of Florida isn't going to build another road, another expressway, or widen one unless they put a toll on it. So there's so much to do with the financing of these roads. But, sorry, you're talking my language on this transportation stuff, and you really, if you don't get to call in on Monday, you better listen to it, because I think you're going to find a lot of it very interesting about the stuff you're talking about now, too. Transportation reform is necessary in this state, but it's a big crime. It's a ripoff.
Oh, absolutely. And I understand, there's so many layers to it, and I can see why the politicians are taking advantage of it, because you have to get from point A to point B. And people don't want to live where they work and where they play. They want to be able to get away from it all. You want to be able to sleep in peace at night. Right now, we live by a highway, and it's noisy, and my wife is pregnant, and she gets a headache, and when there's all that noise or there's those sirens going on from the emergency vehicles, it drives her nuts because her head is just pounding. So you don't want to be that close to those places. We are clearly looking for someplace else to move as soon as finances open up. But you don't want to be in the same place that you work and play where you live, because you want to be able to create some space. That's why people work in Hillsborough County and live all the way in Pasco County or the other end of Pasco County. I know someone who works as a server at Cracker Barrel who works in Pinellas County and lives in Hernando County. She drives an hour and a half to get to work every day, and the reason she does that is because the cost of living out there is a little lower. It was a lot lower, and you know, there's peace. It's more peaceful out there. So she saves money by having such a long commute. So the issue isn't can we pack people in where they live, work, and play in the same area so they don't need their cars. No, people need their cars because they have different goals than the central planners do, and people need to be allowed to make their own decisions in life and what's best for them. And central planners need to just get the hell out of the way and let these people do what they want.
Exactly. In other words, you're going to live the way we want you to live, and there's not going to be an option. And
well,
you're saying, hey, people are different. We all have different options. Let's let them thrive.
Exactly, because ultimately that's where it's most beneficial for everyone. The central planners don't lose any money by us living further out, not if they invest their money properly, but they seem to believe that they are gods and they should have control over us. And I'm not willing to give anyone that kind of control over my life, because no one is as good as God, no one is as wise as God, and no one is as powerful as God to save me from natural disasters. So,
absolutely.
We've only got three minutes left, Josh.
We've only got three minutes left. And I've heard Neil in the background coughing. Did you have any questions, Neil?
Yeah, he had a lot of questions, but he was doing so well I didn't want to interrupt him.
One thing
I would like to mention to Joshua is this Florida Department of Transportation is one of the most corrupt agencies, one in the state of Florida. They are committed to totally backing and funding the greenways in this state, and I'm not real happy about that, considering that they already have done enough land acquisition in this state with the greenways of over 25 million acres, and they're still going at it. I mean, who needs a bicycle path from Key West to Canada? Who needs a bicycle path from the Gulf to the East Coast?
I don't know, but if you want to build that, you should build that on your own private property. If you've got some money to do it, you shouldn't be taking other people's money
and other people's
it.
Property.
This is land acquisition.
Well, I understand that. They are taking your money and my money and using it to take other people's property and exclude us from our land. They're taking our money to exclude us from our land in order to make their little plans work. And that makes me angry. And I'm about ready to call for their abolition. But I'm certainly about ready to, if I get into office, to reduce the people who are in it, to replace those people with a lot fewer people and a lot better character people.
Well, one thing I would like, and I'm going to make sure that Sherry gets it for you or gets it to you, I've done many articles on these greenways. It is a land grab. It is a Ponzi scheme.
Mm-hmm.
And these are connected to these corridors that they're doing all over the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a book of just maps, their maps, at the end of 2013 that will show you every section of the state of Florida and the trails, the corridors, and it is criminal. Anytime it takes $500,000 to do 1 mile of paved bicycle path, I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I've got the documents.
Okay.
If it's unpaved, it's 122,000.
Send me
why
that.
Is
PO
so
box.
Much
oh, I
land?
Will. I'll send it to you, Joshua.
Yeah.
Send it to
but
my
why
PO
is
box.
So much land going? Yeah,
okay.
For bicycle paths, and they're saying, well, it's helping the economy so much. It's bringing in a tremendous amount of money for the economy on
that's
all
not.
The equipment that they buy. Well, let's stop and think here a minute. This equipment's coming from China. China's
right.
going to be real happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's criminal. It's 8 o'clock, so all I want to say is thank you so much, Joshua. We're going to send up our prayers for you. I think you're an outstanding candidate, and if there's any way we can help you, please let us know. I mean, whether it's going to be sending out well, I'll talk to you off the air. There might be something you might be interested in. So God bless you, your family,
oh, yes.
and all that dwell in the land. Thank you all so very much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Okay, and now we'll start round two for the second hour. The as you can see, there's much to discuss when it comes to the toll road issue, transportation. Transportation is a key issue for the state of Florida. Joshua, if you want to continue on, you're more than welcome to, because the show is actually from 7 to 9, and the first hour is Smart Talk with Sherry and Neil. The toll transportation, when you think of transportation, what does transportation mean to the state of Florida?
Construction.
I mean, you're more than welcome to continue talking if you'd like, because
we've
got a whole other hour. There's other stuff you want
to
share. Yeah.
Well, I have a meeting that I actually double booked tonight. There's a meeting going on right now that I'm supposed to catch the second half of. So I'm going to go catch the second half and present myself to everybody and see if I can grab some volunteers out of that.
That sounds excellent. Thank you again. And if you can, try to tune in on Monday because we're going to talk transportation big time.
Okay, thank
you so much.
Your information
is great. Thank you. Okay. Anyway, going back to the transportation issue, Monday, that's what we're going to be talking about for 2 full hours. We are going to talk about everything, including the things that Neil was talking about in reference to the greenways. I call it the land grab out there. We have to understand those that are in public office today are not focused on fixing transportation. They're focused control, and that's what this is all about. So, and the information that Joshua was going on to, it's just that's what's happening over in the Tampa, St. Pete area, Pinellas County. Then you've got Pasco County that's out there fighting the toll road they're trying to put in there. And then down south Florida, we've got rollback tolls out there, which I have a guest who's going to be on Monday from Rollback Tolls, Jane Walker, and let me, before I go and say the wrong name, the person, Garcia, let's see here, Carlos Garcia is from Rollback Tolls is going to be on the show Monday, too. We're going to be talking about that, and I'm trying to reach out to someone from the Pasco County group that's fighting those tolls, so massive stuff to do on the transportation. The other thing, let's see, it was such an interesting discussion, and yet because we are going to talk about it for two hours on Monday, don't want to go into too much anymore right now, but it is such an important thing. Transportation, it was just very interesting, some of the things that Joshua was saying about the levels, what the DOT should be doing, and when you see all these massive people, I hate to think of how much money we spend just on the buildings and the facilities, the overhead for all the networking that they have when it comes to transportation. But anyway, let's save that until Monday. A couple things that have been going on. You've probably been hearing a lot about the it's illegal to live off the grid. I've been seeing a lot more information out there, and this is international law controlling the people of Cape Coral, the people of the United States of America. International law is telling a lady in Cape Coral that she cannot live off the grid, meaning she has to be connected to public utilities. And you shouldn't have to do that. And, you know, and what she is not harming anyone. She is not creating any kind of health risk to anyone. It's absolutely un-American to not allow a person to live the way they want to live. This is, you know, there is no freedom if you're not allowed to live off the grid. And what this lady does, and you can go out there and do various searches, Cape Coral, living off the grid, woman illegal to live off the grid, woman evicted for living off the grid. There's various things you can do, and you can see the article that triggered all this commotion. And all she does is she wanted to see, and I think most of us need to do this exact same test. I'm trying to figure out how I could do it. I mean, how she was able to do this, to some degree, I'm still kind of fascinated by, but I've thought, how could I live off the grid? I live here in Orange County, Florida, and what would it take for me to not have to get public water, water and sewage into my house, and what would it take for me to, in and out, I should say, and how much would it take for me not to have to buy electricity from the local utilities company? And surely the same with phone service, too. Excuse me. Even though, you know, worst comes to worst, the majority of us are going to have a cell phone or something. But when you talk about water, the water and electricity, those two things right there, she was not using them. And it all came down to, if there was a crisis and she had to live without those things, what would you do? So she worked on this process. I mean, imagine living without a refrigerator. It's things like that. When I think about electricity, I think of ways I could cut down on electricity. I could, I guess, you know, worst comes to worst, I could live without air conditioning, but it wouldn't be easy. But when you think about not having a refrigerator, or you think about not having lights, or, you know, heat in the case, you know, here in Florida you couldn't live without heat most of the time, even though there's a few days there you want to crack it on. But, you know, what would you do if you didn't have a refrigerator? I can live without a dishwasher, but I still have to have water to wash dishes. So in a crisis, when you don't have those things, how would you survive? When it comes to short-term stuff like that, I'm covered. You know, I got bottled water and the basic emergency things you're supposed to have. You know, I've covered that. But if we were to have to go for any extended time, and you know, on Fox News, they've been doing Judge Jeanine. She's been out there doing a lot of discussion about the national grid, how it's at risk, and how it would be so inexpensive to fix it, but they don't want to do it. What is it with these people in public office? What is it where they would prefer to just ignore the situation we have? And here they've already proven how easy it is for it to be compromised. They right out there in California. And, of course, they're still calling it vandalism instead of calling it terrorism, which is what it is. We have a federal government, and, I mean, it's really the state, too. I mean, it's the state and federal. They should be working together to fix this problem, but they just don't care. They'd rather spend their time and money stealing land from the people, selling land to foreign interests. It's just, it's so despicable. It's the enemy from within. I've talked a lot about the enemy from within. This is it. It's the government we have to fear. It's not the it's not Al-Qaeda per se. It's the enemy from within who won't protect us. They'll do everything to harm us when it comes to health care and common core and education, transportation. They won't do anything to secure and protect us. Well, that is what their primary number one job is, and that's what they refuse to do. There's something sick here. There's something extremely sick here. Hold on 1 second. Sorry about that. I didn't want to cough in your ear again. I've been coughing. Sorry about that. Anyway, we got a problem out there, and we've got to fix it. And we cannot let these people keep doing the stuff as they are. And this is why on this show we're focusing on candidates, we're focusing on the elections, and we have got to put an end to the chaos. We've got to get back to being free. An American who wants to live off the grid should be able to, and the truth is we should want more people to do it, especially, you know, this is the other part that gives me the hypocrisy of this government. EPA. EPA should be up there jumping up and down for joy that someone's not using electricity. Why would EPA be against not using electricity? Why wouldn't they be running to this person's defense and not using electricity? And when it comes to the water, the person's using rainwater. Why can't you use rainwater? Of course, they keep trying to figure ways to tax rainwater these days, but why couldn't you do that? Why would you not want to stop people from wasting water? Because I hear about it all the time, people wasting water, running down the drain, turn the water off when you brush your teeth, and these kind of things. Well, here you have a person who's conserving water and electricity, condemning her for it and saying it's illegal. And why is it illegal? Because of international law. International law says this lady has to have running water? That's sick. What happened to the sovereignty of this country? Do we not have any sovereignty? And I get, and while this there's all these different things happening out across this country where this government is tyrannical and taking over our rights. 2014, we have got to send a very loud message to both parties. Those who have no respect for the Constitution must go. And that is the Constitution at the federal and at the state level. Go. When they focus more on a stupid soccer stadium than they do the transportation system and the public utilities and these types of things, the grid, they got to go. We don't need those kind of people. With friends like that, who needs enemies? And that's truly the way I think about most people in public office today. With friends like these public servants, who needs enemies? They are destroying us. They are destroying us. And then, I mean, as sick as that is about the grid, living off the grid routine, and how anti-American, the United Nations is dictating to us on how we can live. And yet the United States of America is more environmentally conscious than any other country on this planet. I don't know any other country that does more to try to protect the environment. It definitely is not communist China. They're one of the biggest polluters out there. But that's okay. Can't say anything against a communist country, can you? We can only attack what's supposed to be the free land, the home of the free. But the other thing, too, that is equally outrageous. Oh, it's truly more outrageous. I shouldn't say equally. It's even more outrageous is this thing with Justina. You know, there's, I think it's freejustina.com. For the public, this is Boston, this is Massachusetts doing this, for government to kidnap a child from the parents, when the parents were trying to follow medical care, the advice of the medical professionals, and they have kidnapped this kid, and they're killing the kid. They're using the kid as a guinea pig, it looks like, for whatever kind of medical treatment. And I'll tell you, excuse me, it was on, when I was listening to Glenn Beck earlier today, the discussion came up, somebody said, is what's happening to Justina anything to do with Romney care? How does this Romney care, and is this really what Obamacare is? And, you know, I really had not truly thought of it that way, but that's a perfect question. This is what health care is going to be in the future. If the state doesn't like what's happening with your health care, especially if you're a kid, they're going to take over it, and they're going to do what they feel like, even though what they're doing is harming her, not to mention they're not giving her any education. This is happening in the United States of America. And you just got to say, how is this happening in the United States of America? And where are all the elected politicians who are letting this happen in the United States of America? How many of them have stepped up to fight this? I really haven't heard any of them. If anybody's heard any of the elected public servants that have come forward to stand up for what's happening. I mean, I actually thought I was going to hear something from Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, but unless I was just missing it, which is possible, I don't recall hearing them say anything about this. How can they do this? How can they stand there? And there's nobody in this country, unless your head is totally buried under the sand and with a rock on top or whatever else, you know, if you've paid any attention to the news, you had to have heard about this young girl and what's happened to her and her parents. They haven't taken the other kid away from the parents, so they can't think the parents are too bad as parents. But they think they know what's best for this child, and they're not even letting the parents visit. This is just so disgusting. It is so un-American. And you got to think, you take this, add it on to the kids, this indoctrination, and taking away the rights of the parents to raise their own kids. This is communism, people. Call it what it is, communism. This is communism. We have got to admit it for what it is. We have to face the facts. And we have to face the fact that communism has arrived in the United States of America, the land of the free, home of the brave, is now the land of the communist and the land of not so brave. I mean, a lot of us are out there fighting it, and we have the people out there in the military fighting it. But we don't have anybody. I mean, I'm trying to find, I really want to know who in Washington, D.C. has come forward and said what's going on in Massachusetts and Boston is not acceptable. To give this guy a gag order saying he's not even allowed to talk about it. To prevent these parents from seeing their own kid and taking care of their own kid. The state is taking your children away from you. They're doing it through Common Core. They're doing it through any kind of medical. They will find any excuse. This is where it all comes down to the communism, common property. The child is the property of the state. It's not a family. They're destroying the family unit. And this is what Hillary has always wanted, Hillary Clinton. This is what the communists have always wanted. They call themselves liberal progressive, and that's the way we try to be politically correct in the United States of America, because we don't want to say anything that hurts anyone's feelings, even though it might be the truth. When Americans start talking the truth, instead of worrying about hurting someone's feelings, we might actually turn some things around. But right now, see, we're still not supposed to call them communist. I mean, there's those who are openly communist who openly admit it. But most of them, you know, they hide behind this liberal progressive thing. Alex Sink, candidate Alex Sink right here in Florida, when she said this amnesty thing, she was talking she needs more peasants to work for her. She needs the workers. She needs the peasants to clean the rooms and do the lawn. This is what, I mean, if... I want to know anybody who'd be stupid enough to vote for this lady after she made that remark. I mean, maybe the other ones are thinking it, but they didn't say it. Excuse me. She, you know, others may be thinking the same thing. And, of course, we know they are. John Ellis Bush, a.k.a. Jeb. John Ellis Bush, Jebby, is out there saying very much the same thing. He called them workers. We need workers. Hispanics are more fertile, they're more family-oriented, and we need a bigger working population. This is why amnesty would be good, because we need more workers. Really pretty much saying the same thing Alex Sink said, only he didn't go to that level of saying, we need these illegals to clean our rooms and to do our lawns. Americans shouldn't have to do that stuff, and Americans won't do that stuff. When it all comes down to the truth is she wants to line the wallets of the Chambers of Commerce and whoever else is giving her money. Chamber of Commerce is not the good old boys club of the GOP anymore, for those who might still be foolish enough to think that. But she's got she even said, the employers shouldn't have to pay for all this extra labor. They shouldn't have to worry about hiring illegals. It's like, well, wait a minute, what's that thing about the rule of law again? Do we have that? Has anybody heard of that? The rule of law, it's illegal to hire illegals. And you know what? If you pay a halfway decent wage, you will get the Americans to do it. Now, you know, yeah, you're not going to be able to pay an American $2 or $3 an hour to do this. You're not going to be able to pay them under the table the same way. You're not going to get away with that stuff. You're going to have to follow the laws. But Alex Fink doesn't think you should have to follow the laws. She just thinks you should get cheap labor however you have to. Do whatever it takes to get cheap labor. Isn't that what it's about? Cheap labor to clean the rooms and mow the lawns. This lady was just so disgusting. And then the other person. So anyway, please don't elect Alex Fink for anything. I mean, when she was running for governor, I didn't necessarily agree with everything she said, because I don't agree with half of what these people say. That's another story. But I didn't think she was that kind of an idiot. And I mean, I don't, whatever. I say idiot. Maybe there's other more kind and political, well, nice ways. But she sounds like a communist. And I'm going to start calling these people what they are. If you don't believe in the Constitution, you don't believe in the rule of law, you're a communist. What else are you? Tell me, what else are you? Then there's this good old Orange County School Board Chairman by the name of Bill Sublette. He's a Republican, as though that means anything. He is a Republican, but again, it proves parties mean nothing. Do not reelect this moron in Orange County. He is a promoter of Common Core. Right now, there's only one other person running against him that I saw out there on the Orange County elections website. So I only see one person, and that's disappointing. We want to see more people running. And it's a Democrat, and they may very well like Common Core, too. And some would say, well, why would you vote for the Democrat who likes Common Core, too? Well, that's pretty simple. Because as a Republican, this is supposed to be a person who believes in less government and all is, if anything, would be anti. If you truly are a Republican for what the Republicans used to be, not what they are today, but what the Republican Party was founded on, good old Abe Lincoln stuff, you would not believe in Common Core. So he's just a rhino. Any Republican that would support Common Core is a rhino communist. Start calling them what they are. People, the more Americans actually talk about the fact that we've been being converted to communism, maybe they'll wake up and start listening to it. I've heard people say, well, you go to a meeting, and I mean, I understand they're saying it. This all goes to the politically correct nonsense that we have become as a society. And the conspiracy theories and all the other stuff. You think with everything that's happened with global warming and some of these other things that we start to realize at some point we have to grow up and talk about the truth, tough love. It's called tough love. Americans, please realize communism. Excuse me. Recognize communism when you see it. You've been brainwashed to believe that we should all be the collective. We should all be the common community. We should all, the child belongs to the community, the property of the community. And this kind of nonsense, which is total brainwashing to indoctrinate all of us into communism. They want to switch us over into communism while we weren't even looking, and they're halfway there. Because everybody was raised in school, public schools out there. Oh, that would never happen to America. We're free. Oh, yeah, all these things that the government's doing and handing out food stamps and telling you when you can flush the toilet and when you can't and when you can run water and when you can't and when you can live off the grid and when you can't, you know, all these things. The government is doing this for your own good. And you know what? They're going to take away those personal cars because personal cars aren't really good for you. Then they might issue you a bike if you want to. Yeah, cause let's just imagine living in the Northeast right now, and there are definitely those who ride bikes. But you know what? With all those snowstorms, let's see, you're going to the office, and you got to take your laptop computer with you, and you've got a a small hike. You got to get on the bus maybe, I don't know. Just think about what it's like when you don't have personal transportation, when you don't have the choice. Now, if you live in the heart of downtown New York City, whatever, you know, and you just go around, as soon as you get out the building, you go down to the subway. Yeah, some people live that way and some people like it. See, that's what America is supposed to be about. If you like living that way and you like living in the congestion of a city like New York, then go for it. I don't. I have always been the big believer of the American dream of owning your own home and having a backyard. And we've got plenty of land to do that. Don't believe the nonsense that we're running out of land. I am in total favor of having national parks, state parks. I love the national monuments. Of course, they've sold most of them to the United Nations or to foreign countries, but nobody told us about that. Literally selling off the United States of America. That's what they're doing. These people in public office. Literally selling it off, and all comes under the Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. And, you know, it's only been the past, I'm going to say 3 to 5 years, that the discussion has gotten louder and louder about Agenda 21, the New World Order that George H.W. Bush put us into back in 1992. Yeah, come on, that's when we started this. That is when George H.W. Bush signed us on to Agenda 21, the New World Order, and he was proud. But wait a minute, George Bush, let's see, let's go back in the family, Prescott Bush. Who was that guy? Who was he involved with? Oh, yeah, that's right, he hated Hitler. Okay, Prescott Bush got rich aiding Hitler. And George H.W. Bush wants us to be part of the New World Order, Agenda 21. And George W. Bush with the North American Union called the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, where there's no borders between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. That's why he never secured the borders. Duh. And then we have John Ellis Bush, Jeb, as most of you know him. John Ellis Bush, Jebby, who's promoting communism via Common Core. Do we see a pattern here, people? Do you not see what's been happening all along? Little by little, we have been converted to a communist society, but you're not, you know, we've brainwashed Americans to thinking, well, we're not communist. Well, we're not to the extent of China by any means, communist China, but yet we seem to think the world of communist China. We want them involved in everything we do. We want them to come over and buy up our land, and we want to do all that. Hey, they can come over here, and we won't charge them any taxes, but of course, if we want to do business in China, it's a whole other story. So would somebody explain to me how any of this makes sense? Do we really have the moral, I mean, if these people in public office aren't communist, are they really this stupid? Are they really this ignorant? Explain it to me. Because this makes no sense. If you believe in the Constitution, how can you be communist? And, you know, this is the part that gets people really confused, or the debate goes on about freedom of religion, freedom of beliefs, these kind of things. And which, of course, many times I brought up the question, can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? And it's really quite simple. In America, you have the freedom of religion, freedom of speech. The communists don't really want you to have freedom of speech, but right now, that freedom of speech is kind of helping them out, too. They, you know, communists don't really believe in freedom of speech, but when you're a communist in the United States of America, you really do like it. So, let's see. If you're a communist, can you be an American? If you're a communist, I mean, in the legal sense, in a totally legal sense, yes, you can be an American if you're a communist. You have the right to not believe in what we do, but that doesn't mean you have the right to go kill people. Just because you're a communist doesn't make you outside the laws of this country. And see, to me, if you're, you know, if you truly believe in communism, I think we should give you a one-way ticket to China. Go where you'd be happy. There's communist countries out there that might want you. But why are you insistent on trying to convert this country into communism? Power going on. What is going on in your head that you think you should tell the rest of us? Because I don't want to be communist. I believe in the Constitution. So you take this, and the other aspect at that same time, if you're a communist and you're elected to public office, what does it mean when you take an oath to uphold the Constitution? Doesn't mean anything, does it? How can you be a communist and take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America? Would somebody explain that to me? Because I don't see how you can. And the same is true on the Muslim side. Can you be a Muslim and an American at the same time? In a legal sense, you definitely can. Freedom of religion. But at the same time, does being a Muslim American, an American who is a Muslim, does that mean you have the right to kill Christians and Jews? Because that's what your doctrine says, right? Convert or kill? If they don't convert to Islam, they deserve to die and will rot in hell, just like the guy at Fort Hood said. He was out there preaching that. He was preaching that while wearing an American military uniform. So we know you have the right to be a Muslim and be an American at the same time. Excuse me. But do you have the right to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America? So, and this is where it all gets confusing when you talk about freedom of religion. What does it take to be an American? And who has the right to destroy America? The people in public office, they're strictly, why did I name the show American Statesman? Let's step back here for just a minute. American Statesman. What's the difference between a politician and a statesman? A politician is working for the next election. Statesman is working for the next generation. How many statesmen do you know in public office today? Very few. Most of them are politicians. Self-serving, egotistical, money-grubbing, power-hungry, slimy, scumbag politicians. Not all of them. There are those you see who say, the Enumerated Powers Act, to pass the Enumerated Powers Act. And you know what that is? And in this case, in the Senate, every Republican did vote for it. Every Democrat voted against it. Not that I think the Republicans are squeaky clean, but it's more to do with, I think the Republicans knew the Democrats were all going to vote against it so they could vote for it and make themselves look good. I mean, John McCain doesn't seem to believe in that anymore, not with the crazy stuff he does. And Lindsey Graham, I mean, you've got so many rhinos out there, the liberal progressives on the Republican side. They truly are just one big melting pot anymore. But for those who may not be familiar with this Enumerated Powers Act, it's been out there for years. But it really shows you the root of the problem when you have people in public office, this is at the federal level, who refuse to pass an Enumerated Powers Act. What does this Powers Act do, Enumerated Powers Act do? All it says is, before we go and generate new legislation, before it ever goes to committee, before anything, any action is taken on this proposed legislation, we will have a checkpoint where we go and validate it against the Constitution. Is this constitutional? Where does the Constitution give us the power to make this law? Where does the Constitution give you the power to create Obamacare? Where does the Constitution give you the right to take a child from the parent? Where does the Constitution give you the right to say a lady has to live on the grid? When you go out there and you say, before we're going to do this, we're going to make sure this law is constitutional. Right now, there's so many laws out there, and so many of them are unconstitutional. What has happened to our Constitution? And why is it that way? And I know I kind of get sidetracked on these discussions because one thing leads to another, but these people who go and take a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution, how can you uphold the Constitution if you don't believe in the Constitution? Muslims don't believe in the Constitution. They don't. I mean, they can't be a Muslim and believe in the Constitution at the same time. They can't believe in the Constitution as a Muslim who believes all Christians and Jews should be dead and will rot in hell routine, and this type of mentality. And we've opened the floodgates for the Muslim Brotherhood to come in. If they believe that, how can they uphold the Constitution? If they believe Sharia over the Constitution, they believe in honor killings, as they call them. They believe in stoning women. They believe in chopping off heads. I mean, they live by a whole different set of rules. So how can you uphold the Constitution of the United States if you believe in Sharia? You can't. A Muslim can no more be an American in the sense of truly believing in the Constitution. They can be an American in a legal sense, but not in the sense of being, but not in the sense of believing in the Constitution. They can no more do that than an atheist can believe in God. Can you be an atheist and believe in God at the same time? I think, you know, those who are agnostic, well, they don't know whether there's a God or not, so they don't believe or not believe. They're just out there in limbo land. They're out there in limbo land. But an atheist says, no, there is no God, period. So you can't be an atheist and a Christian at the same time. That's really not. Now, if you're an atheist, you can still believe in the Constitution with whatever kind of caveat you want to say about rights granted by our Creator. But for the rest of it, to say what the role of government is supposed to be and things like that, that really doesn't violate what an atheist would believe. But when it comes to being a Muslim, you don't believe in hardly anything of that Constitution. What part of the Constitution does a Muslim believe in? I don't think you can. And this all comes into the fact that this is why our country's falling. We've lost any kind of moral ground. Everything that created us, the values we had, the principles we had, are dying at the hands of those in public office. And, of course, the only way they get there is with us. And I'll be the first to say, the elections are so corrupt. How many people are in public office today that we didn't elect? Probably the one in the White House. I think everybody's pretty much convinced that between his ineligibility, which means, you know, how stupid Americans look when they can't even truly prove the person in the White House is an American citizen. We've never proven that. Never proven a natural-born American citizen, which is what it takes for the White House. And then at the same time, we let all these elections are so corrupt in so many ways. The political parties are so corrupt. I find it so interesting of how well President George Washington knew this day was coming. He knew if the citizenry did not maintain a moral code and an involvement in the government, the ownership of its own government, that we would end up here, even down to the point of talking about credit and factions. Talks an awful lot about factions and political parties and associations, and they're all, I mean, factions, associations, slash political parties, slash various cultures. If you come to America to be an American, if you want to visit and leave, fine, do it like you're supposed to. But if you want to be an American, you need to be an American. There's none of this Latino American crapola. There's no Italian Americans. There's no Russian Americans. There's no African Americans. You're an American and nothing but an American. If we can't be Americans, we will not survive. United we stand, divided we fall. And this is where we find ourselves. And we find this as we talk about the elections. Excuse me. How can Bill Sublette in any way, shape, or form support Common Core? I sent an email to him. In fact, let's see here. See if I can get to it quickly. Some of the main words that I put on this email. And this is what I hope others will send. I hope others will send the same message. Anybody in public office who supports Common Core, and especially the RINOs, because the RINOs are showing their true hypocrisy. Truthfully, the Democrats ought to admit they're communists too, liberal progressives. They should admit that that's what they're heading for. So they're hypocrites too. But it's really the Republicans who have really, and from the days of Abraham Lincoln, were supposed to be empowering people to do their own thing, when in fact they keep doing, today they do everything opposite. They do everything that's going to benefit their bottom line, their wallet, their family finances, their own public interest. And then, yeah, what the heck, a little bit of communism doesn't hurt, does it, right? Isn't this it? And one of the responses I got to the email I sent out, because I copied a bunch of my fellow patriots, except, in my opinion, that many of the GOP are communist. And, you know, hey, maybe we need to examine the party system closer. Where is the party system defined in the Constitution? We the people have been snookered again. And this is true. The only way our society works is if the people are engaged. If the people refuse to be engaged in the discussion, in the public dialogue, you surrender your rights to the liberal progressive communists. And please, say the word communist. Go out there and look what communism is and face the fact that that's where we're heading. So anyway, this email I sent out, I'll read part of it. I won't read the whole thing. Attention GOP candidates. State of our education. State of the GOP in 2014. Now, this particular one, I sent this email to Bill Sublette in reference to Orange County RINO for Common Core, generic and saying the GOP, and I did send it to the RNC, and I also sent it to the Republican Party of Florida, because American patriots are not going to support Common Core communism. If the GOP wants to support communism, we're not going to vote for you. And that's what the message is. And then on here, I'll start reading it, Common Core is communism, period. American patriots will not vote for anti-Americans that promote Common Core communism. And again, we have to be honest and call it what it is. Then we go further with this. And I go through and I provide some definitions of communism, because I don't really know that these people in public office know how to read anymore. I don't know if they have a clue what the Constitution is. I don't think they have a clue what communism is. So here's a few of the definitions. A way of organizing a society in which the government owns the things that are used to make and transport products. And there is no privately owned property. This is all to do with sustainable development, a.k.a. Agenda 21. And you, in order to get to a.k.a. Agenda 21, sustainable development, you have to educate, indoctrinate, brainwash people into believing they no longer have the right to own private property. See, it was the founders, George Washington, John Adams, many of them said it. If you do, your liberty is tied to your right to own private property. If everything is owned in common, you are not free. Common communism. Everything is owned in common. Now, the full definition of communism. A theory advocating elimination of private property. A system in which goods are owned in common and available to all as needed. Think about everything that's happening in this society today. Redistribution of wealth. Everybody living in some kind of condo, condominium. And then we have the capitalized, a doctrine based on revolutionary Marxism, socialism, and then Leninism, if I can even talk. That was the official ideology union of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. USSR? Yeah. Communism? A totalitarian system of government in which a single authoritarian party controls state-owned means of production. This means you work for the government. The government is taking more and more of our money and telling us every day more and more of the things we cannot do. Communism. And we have to brainwash the children. Common Core. Common Core is communism. Say it out loud. And, you know, you can't be afraid to say the word communism because of what, oh, that's extreme. Oh. It's called tough love. Be honest. Seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can save America. We will never save this country if we don't face the truth. We can never face the truth if we don't seek the truth. A final stage of society in Marxist theory in which the state has withered away and economic goods are distributed equitably. So in other words, okay, you have how many are in the household, so you get so many loaves of bread. You get so many bicycles because you're not going to be allowed to have a car. Car's private property. And you'll be allowed so many tickets to get on the bus. And by the way, here's what your job's going to be. You're going to go do this. Communism. Communist system collectively. Communist systems collectively. And then I put down in here, learn more about communism in education, because this email is specifically about Common Core and communism. The principles of communism, and I give them a link, education of all children from the moment they can leave their mother's care in national establishments at national cost. Education and production together. Common Core. Taking away the rights of the parents to raise their own kids. And it's education and production together. Go look at what Common Core is. The classes, the studies, the assignments. I have been to many, many events where they were protesting Common Core. I've gone out there and looked at some of the information about Common Core. And then obviously lots of information, people who have studied it and can recite the pieces of it. They go through and give you what chapter, what part of it, what fate. And, you know, right now, what are they doing here in Florida? Because they think the Floridians, Americans in general, but Floridians here, are so stupid that they can go and change Common Core to be something else. And then that's somehow going to mean it's not Common Core anymore. Don't let them treat us like a bunch of idiots. We're not as stupid as they want us to be yet. That's what Common Core is working towards, though. Common Core is to create your training kids instead of teaching them. Common Core is all about training a child how you are to behave and what you're going to do in the society based on what the government tells you to do. It's not about thinking outside the box. It's about being crammed in the box. True education is to teach a child how to think and to have those basic skills to think, how to read, to learn, how to do problem solving. But everything they're doing is to cram these students, the future of America, into a box and tell the box where it's going to go. This is, you will not be allowed to think outside the box. You will not be allowed to discuss any topics. We'll tell you what you can talk about. Remember the day, you know, in America it used to be really bad to censor stuff, but now that's what they're doing in school. Rewriting the books, rewriting our history. George Washington wasn't there. They teach nothing of the Constitution. They teach nothing of American history. Communist indoctrination. I give them the link to it. It begins, as the title it goes, it begins. Communist indoctrination included in Common Core literature for first graders. It's a video. And if you wanted to go out there and find this this link, I can tell you what to look for on it. It's www.thegatewaypundit.com, 2013-05. It begins, Communist Indoctrination Included in Common Core Literature for First Graders video. That's all I have to say, but if you go, I did a search on Communist Indoctrination and I found it. Then there's also Communism in Education. This is all to do with Marxists. Marxist.org, and it goes, and this is Chapter 10, Communism in Education. You have to brainwash, indoctrinate the children. You have to convince them that freedom of the press is evil. Of course, I don't know the way what it's turned into today. I might be tempted to agree because it doesn't do what it's supposed to. But you're going to say owning your own house is bad. People are evil, and they need to be controlled. And who's going to control them? King Obama or Dictator Obama. He's the one who's going to tell you how to live. He'll make sure you have a good cell phone, though. But he'll make sure you have health care and a cell phone, and then he's going to tell you when to go clean that bedroom. Remember the maid we needed? Who's going to clean the hotel rooms? Indoctrination movie. Just do a search on indoctrination movie. Children of the Core. This is something, too. People don't, Children of the Core. This is all to do with what Common Core is doing to children. It's destroying our youth. It's the brainwashing, the intentional brainwashing of the youth so that they will believe that communism is good. And, I mean, I remember so plainly when I was going to public school many years ago, and we would talk about education in communist China or communist Russia. And we would say these countries, the communist countries, they limited what they could teach censorship. They said they were only going to let them know what they wanted them to know. That's what Common Core is. We're only going to teach them what we think they need to know. We're not going to let them have access to all those books. We're not going to let them learn outside the box. We are going to control them, Children of the Core. And then there's the deliberate dumbing down of America. Excuse me. And this is a book. And you just do deliberate dumbing down of America, and you'll find different things. There's a YouTube out there. You can also download the book from the website. You don't have to go buy one, but you can buy one too. And it goes into Common Core. The dumbing down of America has been happening for a while now. It's gradual, and we've talked about it many times on this show, and it's just been happening over the years. But Common Core is like the final nail in the coffin of how we're going to destroy the future of this country. How we're going to find the final conversion to communism is to brainwash and indoctrinate the youth. We've been doing it little by little, but Common Core is the way. It's a federal takeover of education. And in here, as I was saying communication here, learn more about communism and education. Looks like the GOP needs a lesson on the role education plays in communism. There is a reason why our founding fathers did not did not create a federal national Department of Education. America is not communist China. Think about it. God gave you a brain, and you are lucky enough to be an American. It's time you engaged your brain and followed our Constitution. This was my message to the Republicans, the GOP, if they're not too stupid to keep going. But, I mean, how many the liberal progressives that have taken over the GOP? So that is why you cannot assume, because a person's a Republican, that it means anything. You have to listen to what they say. You have to ask the right questions, challenge them with questions. And if those who have been in public office, you better go back and see how they voted. Rick Scott should not be reelected. Charlie Crist should not be reelected. I mean, he was there before. Both of course, Charlie Crist was a Democrat. Then he was a Republican. Now he's a Democrat again. The parties mean nothing. The parties are nothing but a strategy for how they think they can get into office. It has nothing to do with beliefs. And that's what George Washington, our president, our first president, and our father of our country, said, do not allow, the political parties will divide us. It will allow evil actions of men, unethical men, to usurp the will of a nation for the will of a party, to usurp the reins of government for themselves. That's not the exact quote, and I should know the exact quote. I read it plenty. But that's the gist of it. He warned us, and we're right here. If you have not taken the time to read President George Washington's farewell address, please do. I know I say it all the time, harp on it all the time, but it's just so true. Go back and look at what Thomas Jefferson said. I mean, people always ask, who's your favorite president, and these kind of things. And George Washington, President Washington, was definitely my favorite. There's just so many things about this individual. He could have been king, and he didn't. He had fought the king. He defeated the king. King George versus King George. He could have been king, but he said no. And then his farewell address sums it up so much of what will happen. Thomas Jefferson warned us time and time again, term limits, and then the central bank, so many things. And he also said, don't believe what the newspapers say, which I thought was funny, too. The only thing you can believe in the newspaper is the newspaper ads. Let's see. So anyway, we are getting down to the last couple minutes here. Please contact every Republican you know. Send them this message. A similar message out there letting them know we are not going to support common core communism, so they better stop it. Anyway, on that note, let me go ahead and wrap up here because we are just about out of time. I have enjoyed ranting for the last hour. Please tune in to Monday's show. Very important, transportation, massive corruption, transportation. It's so symbolic of everything is wrong in the state of Florida. And so what is wrong with government today? Please be involved. Seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can save America. It's tough love all the way. We must seek the truth. Face the truth. And then we can save America. And on that, God bless America. Good night, everyone.